goes to anybody when that announcement will be made. Scott Brayton may be ready to go. Bob?
He's been sitting on the wall for about 10 minutes with his dad, just talking things over and having a really relaxed time of it. Got in the car, fired it up at about 10:48. Just about 4 or 5 minutes ago, shut it down. He's now waiting. Tom Bitford told him just a moment ago about 3 minutes, so we're down to in the vicinity of two. He's got an umbrella sitting over his head, a very, very quietly confident young man who, as we said, turned a 2:13.9 on the clock today, maybe a 2:15 on watches. He's sitting here in the number 37 machine, the Buick, just ready to go, waiting for the festivities to be over, the track to be cleared, the light to turn green.
And we've got Tom Spiva next out, and Tom has not been running his usual hot lap May. Larry Henry's alongside.
He has not. A lot of people have said he is sandbagging, but he may have problems. They have been working on that car today in the practice car.
Meanwhile, the track is open for qualification, and they are pushing Scott Brayton away now, and car number 37 is being push started. The inertial starter caught. The engine died. It is fired again, and they're pushing him down the line. He hasn't geared it yet. There he is, throwing it in first, pulling out of the pit, and Scott Brayton is on his way. Tom Speed to follow. Danny Ungaius will be going out.
He is always quick. Ran 2:12 in practice. It could be in that black machine.
And another car matching Brayton's in power, a V6 Buick project. Carter Poncho.
He said he would have a chance for the pole. He may really put his foot in it today and show them what he can do.
Derek Daly would like to go today, but I don't know that they're ready.
They've only had a couple of days of practice in that Lola. The speed just not there yet.
Emerson Fittipaldi.
He had some problems in practice when he ran into Allenser Sr., but he showed quick enough speed to 2:10.
The serious question, Roberto Guerrero brushing the wall in practice this morning.
They've got that car repaired. They fueled it. It should be out on the line ready to go when Roberto's time comes up.
So we're ready to go qualifying. Thank you. Larry Henry will be keeping track of business down through the pits and in the garage area. We'll be watching them qualify up here on the tower. And Scott Brayton warming it up on the track now. We'll be back with a look at his run after these words.
For 69 years, the epitome of all races has happened here every May. The Indianapolis 500. But this year, Oldsmobile is proud to present the Oldsmobile Calais as the 1985 pace car. Not only will the Calais be setting the pace of this year's 500-mile race, but Indy's finest Oldsmobile dealer, Dallin Oldsmobile, will be offering 8.8% financing on the sleek, classy 1985 Calais this month only. The Calais is a new kind of car for Oldsmobile. It's 5-passenger for room and comfort. It's sporty. It's a fuel-injected engine. It's front-wheel drive. It's elegant. And with 8.8% financing, it's affordable, starting at less than $9,000. But most of all, it's special. Special enough to be selected as the 1985 pace car. And special enough for Dallin Oldsmobile to have over 80 in stock to choose from. Hurry, the 8.8% financing is only this month. Dallin Oldsmobile always gives you a choice. So when you have to choose, choose Dallin. Dallin Oldsmobile, 5350 North Keystone.
And we're qualifying down the main straightaway, taking the green flag, and Scott Brayton on his way to be the first qualifier for this year's 500 some month. Donald Davidson's here.
This would be Scott Brayton's fourth start. This is very similar to the operation that he had last year. It's a team that's owned by his father, who's a former driver here, but he never made the race. Lee Brayton was here several times.
This engine effort, though, seems more serious than in the past.
V6 Buick, as last year, but they ran fast last year, but he had some problems getting set up and so forth.
First lap is completed. Scott Brayton has one down, four to go, and there's a little evidence out of the turbocharger area of some smoke. It could just be loading up with oil. First lap is 211.815 miles an hour. Need we say it is a new track record. 211.815. Scott Brayton.
That didn't take long, did it?
No.
It's 11:03, and we have a new track record. Scott Brayton's best finish was ninth in the 1983 race. They're driving a Cosworth power car, but the problems that they had running him along the kart circuit was that it is not allowed as much pressure relief as it is in USAC.
He has 10 additional inches here against the Cosworth, and let's see if we can hear him say it, because it is going to be a new track record. I sneak that in.
Now, listen to this one.
Want to hear this?
Over 213 miles an hour. Another new track record.
That's Tom Carnegie. He had to hear that once. 213.189 miles an hour. Scott Brayton averaging better than 212 and a half. History being made and more of it to come. We are looking at the Scott Brayton, Brayton Engineering, number 32nd, on the track and ready to complete the third lap. Here's the white flag. Three laps in. record, 213.199 miles an hour.
Let's hear him say it again.
42.017 on the time, and the speed, 214.199.
Here he comes.
The new track record.
Of course it is. Here he comes down the line now, waiting for the appearance of our first qualifier for this year's 500. The checkered flag is up, and there is no doubt about it. We have a new track record for the four-lap average as Scott Drayton completes his qualification run.
Sounded bad coming across the line. I don't know if he had something let go, but it's had a very rough.
He had a good 210.256 to back it up, so he dropped 4 miles an hour, but that still averages 212.354 miles an hour. He's a qualifier. We are waiting for Tom Stevens' run next. We'll be back with that in a moment.
Now going on, the JCPenney May Celebration Sale with savings for the family and home. For example, sale $9.99 motion pants, our best-selling women's swag. All our draperies and novelty curtains are now 20% off. Our entire line of in-stock mini blinds are on sale too. Plus, the JCPenney Towel Sale. Our luxurious bath size is only $5.99. There's a lot going on at the JCPenney May Celebration Sale. Don't miss out on the savings.
Indianapolis is a city that grows on. This kind of growth could not have happened without the assurance of an ongoing, dependable, low-cost supply of water. In fact, in some cities, progress is drying up due to a lack of water. Indianapolis is alive with new ideas, new developments, new business and industry, which generate more jobs and opportunities. The Indianapolis Water County is proud to nurture this growth. After all, everything that grows needs water.
If you've been thinking about buying a used car, now's the time. Tom Wood Toyota must clear the lot. 1985 Toyotas are arriving daily, and Tom Wood Toyota must make room. If you've been looking for a quality, reasonably priced used car, then Tom Wood Toyota's got it for you. You see, Tom Wood Toyota has a nice selection of good used late model cars. Really good used cars. Plus, a one-year service contract is included in the price on most cars. You've got the kind of car you'll be proud to own and one you can afford, too. You can choose from several. Corollas, Celicas, Supras, even Jaguars. Or maybe a Volvo would fit your lifestyle better. Tom Wood Toyota has them all. Wagons for the family and pickups for work or play. Tom Wood Toyota is the place to look when you want that really good used car you've been thinking about. See Tom Wood Toyota today. We're just across from Lafayette Square at 4202 Lafayette Road. If you've been thinking about a quality, reasonably priced used car, then Tom Wood Toyota's got it for you.
Back to the track of WIBC to the bar.
And we've got a new track record and a driver who hasn't arrived back here at the start-finish line yet. He's parked the car along the back straightaway. Scott Brayton has turned it in for a four-lap average of 212.354 miles an hour. He lost about 4 miles an hour on his last lap. Scott Brayton's first lap was a new record at 211.815 miles an hour. His second lap was quicker, and so a new track record at 213.189 miles an hour. His third lap was a new track record, and this will be hard to push, maybe, 214.199. The fourth lap was the slow one. As Donald pointed out, as he came down the head of the main straightaway, there was obvious problems with the engine. It seemed to be losing power. It was evident from up here, and we're under glass and roof, 210.256 miles an hour. But with those four together, it's a new four-lap average, a new record of 212.354 miles an hour. And then around out on the track to the back straightaway and folded slowly to a start. And he's making the tour now, but now being pulled not at a 200-plus mile-an-hour run, but maybe a 34-mile-an-hour run, 30 or 40, coming through turn three and headed back for the track. Have we seen that?
From
a record run?
Not from a record run, no. I'll tell you one thing that's interesting about the pattern, and something you don't normally see, is progressively faster laps. Tom Sneva last year, on his pole winning effort, each lap was consecutively faster, or successively faster. The first one was not a track record, but the second, third, and fourth each were records. But the fact that Sneva actually broke the record three times, that that's what Scott Brayton's done here, except he did it on the first, second, and third lap, and then slowed down on the fourth.
Yeah, we're into setting up the cars, really, and Tom Sneva is a master at that. And generally, you set up the car, let's really go fast, and then the speed begins to fade away from you. So Tom, in fact, set a car that was not ideal at the beginning, but would improve as the lap
yes.
wore on.
And did it deliberately.
Exactly.
Another thing I was thinking about earlier, while we have a chance to talk here, is the fact that Don Whittington, as a possible pole winner, should that happen, I'm trying to think of the last time where the driver who wins the pole was not assigned to that particular car 25 hours before the practice starts.
Well, we're looking now, here it is, rolling, not under power, but at least for the drama of it, he let go of the rope from the wrecker and is rolling now toward the photography point, and he can hear the crowd. That's kind of rare, too, pulling on the end, and there's just no noise in his ears at all. The M2 has been off for several minutes. They're pushing him now into the area where, in fact, we're going to stand by here and see what Scott Brayton has to say about this. Scott Brayton, car number 37, qualifies at an average speed of 212.354 miles an hour. Dan Gurney's Eagle, number 2, Tom Sneva, the driver, now firing up and being pushed out onto the racetrack. So, the stall entry should become the second qualifier of the day, and take a shot at Scott Brayton if he has the speed in it. Sneva's times, 210 mile an hour at most in terms of practice that we have seen. Now we're going to find out what Scott Brayton has to say about his record run, and particularly that fourth lap. It had to be disappointing. A problem in the engine room, it must be. 211.8 first lap, 213 one second, 214 one third, 210.2 the 4 mile an hour drop, or nearly so on the fourth. Four lap average, 212.354 miles an hour. He's in. He had a good week. He has had a good run, and he has a record setting moment for qualifying for this year's Indianapolis 500. He's got the one lap record and the four lap average and the pole. Scott Brayton, his performance being acknowledged by the crowd here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
You've got to feel good about that, Scott. It's all yours right now.
Well, it was a good run. Unfortunately, on the last lap, I really had a good one worked up. I'd been having some problems, and as the laps were going, that's why I was getting better, and I just had a little bit of a failure there at the end.
What was the failure?
Well, I don't know for sure. That'll be up to my mechanics to determine.
You know who's behind you right now?
No, I don't.
Tom Sneva.
Oh, well,
on the track.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad that we did so well. The Buick V6 has performed excellent all month for us, and I'm just very excited. Brayton Racing built the engine, and my guys have worked extremely hard all month long, and my hat's off to them because they got the car ready, and I just wish that I would have been a little ready for my first lap on the course.
He was ready enough. Scott Brayton's made his run. He's in the record books now. Tom Sneva is on the track, just warming up. We'll be back with that after this.
Do you know who won this year's Speedway 500-mile race sweepstakes? Hello again, Donald Davidson here. And if you've already filled out your 500 sweepstakes entry, it could be you. If you haven't, stop by soon and register to win 2 tickets to the 500-mile race, $100 worth of great Speedway gasoline, and a Bell Racing helmet autographed by all 33 drivers. There's no purchase necessary. Every Speedway station draws a winner, and full details on all the prizes are available. But hurry! The tickets to the race, $100 worth of Speedway gas, and the autographed racing helmet could all be yours, but you must register by the Sunday before the race. Stop in, register to win, and have a Speedway day!
On
the racetrack at speed. His qualification run now underway. Cosworth Power, but Dan Gurney designed it. The chassis, it is an Eagle. The number is 2. The sponsorship, Skoll. And there is one lap complete. Tom Steva, first lap, logged in the Skoll Bandit number 2 at 208.541 miles an hour. That's not a new track record. It doesn't equal his last year's record, and he apparently wasn't sandbagging.
I think that maybe he's just satisfied to be getting in the race. I think maybe his pole winning efforts are over unless he really thinks he can do it. He's been very happy all month. That's what made people think that maybe he was sandbagging. I think maybe he's just interested in getting safely in the race and going for it on race day.
Four laps like that, and there would be no question in anyone's mind, 208.5 miles an hour. One lap has been completed. Watching for him at the north end of the track, there's the green flag, and that's the second lap. Tom Steva, the Skoll Bandit, Dan Gurney's Eagle, Cosworth Power, second lap, up to 209.629 miles an hour. A pair of laps averaging 209 even.
Tom has been the fastest qualifier 4 times, although he's been on the pole 3 times. And the pole winning efforts were in 77 and 78 for Roger Penske, and then last year for the Mayer Motor Racing Team, which was formed in 84 and dissolved in 84, or at least ran one season only. The other time was in 1981, when he was driving for Bignotti Cotter, with one of the first of the marches, and he was not on the pole because he qualified late, but he was the fastest qualifier. So he shares with A.J. Foyt the distinction of being the only two drivers to be the fastest qualifier 4 times. Rex Mays was on the pole 4 times, but he wasn't always the fastest qualifier.
Well, Tom's third lap is a little slower than the second, but not much, at 208.996 miles an hour. So he's averaging, again, right at 209 miles an hour. It's a good going. It won't eclipse Scott Brayton's average of 212.354. Tom Steva, 3 laps that average 209. The first lap, 208.5. Second lap, 209.6. Third lap, 208.9. And we're waiting now for a checkered flag as Tom uses a lot of racetrack, comes out of 4, heads down to the main straightaway. Here's the checkered flag. There is our second qualifier for this year's 500. Tom Steva boots it home. The Skoll Bandit, number 2, qualifies with a fourth lap of 208.546 and a four-lap average of 208.927. Danny Ongais warming up and ready to leave. We'll watch him in a moment.
Make the right choice.
Knows what it takes to keep homes around here comfortable year-round. He's familiar with local utility costs, temperature patterns, and energy demands. And he knows that in this area, there's an attractive alternative to conventional central heating and air conditioning systems. It's the Rheem Heat Pump, the all-season alternative. And it can cost less to operate than central heat and air. The key is to compare, to weigh the advantages and make the right choice. So why not call your Rheem dealer and see if a high-quality, high-efficiency Rheem heat pump could bring year-round comfort and energy savings to your house.
Heating and air conditioning at 924-5773 since 1940, selling quality products with pride.
Once upon a time, a nice man and wife were granted a reward of 3 wishes by the good elf everyone knows lives under the bridge in Beech Grove. Oh, said the wife, I wish we could lower our energy bills and get air conditioning and some free electricity and a $50 U.S. savings bond. So the good elf told them to call Gene Ray Heating and Air Conditioning. And when they called Gene Ray, they got a brand new, made in Indianapolis, Bryant Deluxe Electric Heat Pump. It cooled them in summer, warmed them in the winter, saved them money, and Bryant reimbursed them half their highest monthly electric bill. Well, that used up the 3 wishes and more, but the good elf was so happy, he said everybody could have the Gene Ray Bryant Deluxe Electric Heat Pump and the savings and the free electricity. So everybody called Gene Ray Heating and Air Conditioning, and they lived happily ever after.
It's 1118 at WIBC.
Daddy Ongais on the racetrack now, ready to make a qualification run. He gives the green flag, or takes it. He's on his way. Could be the third qualifier of the day on the Interscope Racer. Car number 25, Tom Sneva, has made his qualification run, has pulled in, and is not surrounded by members of the crew at the moment. Tom is virtually alone down there where they take the pictures of the qualifying car and driver. Daddy Ongais is on his way now. Daddy was a straight-line racer who learned to turn left pretty good.
He was a drag racer of considerable success during the late 50s and through the 1960s. In 1966, at Indianapolis Raceway Park, he was in the final run of Top Fuel and lost to a driver named Mike Snively. He did win the Winter Nationals. He was very successful in Top Gas as opposed to Top Fuel, if you're interested in drag racing, and also he was an early funny car driver. Since 1977,
he's right now running a 207, okay, 211 mile an hour first lap, 207, 211.
He was a very exciting newcomer here in 1977, really captured the public's imagination. 1978, in fact, in 77, he had the fastest lap in the race as a rookie, so-called rookie. 1978, he qualified in the middle of the front row, but has had very poor luck here, very, very considerable misfortune. We were calling him the Miracle Man for a while, and I think that still should stick, because in 1981, I don't think anybody expected him to come back after that dreadful weather car accident that he had.
207 on the first lap, 207 on the second. The digit's 207.847 miles an hour, so he's averaging right at 207.5, third quick of three qualifiers to the moment.
Again, I think they would be very satisfied with this. I think that they're looking at a race program rather than a qualifying program. They have to do this as a formality to get into the race, and I think a lot of teams have tended to lose track of that, and I think drivers have recently even made such statements publicly that maybe there's just a little too emphasis on qualifying. The idea is to get in the race.
I'd say that especially if I was doing 207s and 8s and people doing 213s and 12s. We've got the third lap completed, one remaining now for Daddy Ongais, the Interscope number 25. He's averaging 207.5 now. It slows a little. The third lap, 206.939 miles an hour. We're waiting for a fourth lap of Daddy Ongais. And by the way, we have not heard any comment from Tom Sneva on his run, but none has been offered to the crowd here as yet. We're going to stick with this after the run. There's the possibility Tom Terrific will have something to say about his second quick qualifying run of the day. The quickest is Scott Brayton's, 212.3. Sneva's averaging 208.9. Ongais at the moment in three laps is averaging 207.3, but it takes four laps of the average to make it. Here's a checkered flag for Daddy Ongais coming down the main straightaway into the field for this year's 500 in number 25, the Interscope Racing car. It is black, kind of silvery white decoration and numeral on it. The fourth lap is 206.887 miles an hour, his slowest, and the four-lap average, 207.220. Daddy Ongais qualifies for this year's 500. Poncho Carter will be moving out, and recall that Carter has a Buick V6 power plant as well, just as Scott Brayton, and Brayton is the man who holds the new track record now. A good run for Daddy Ongais. He is in the field with just about four laps that you can expect. They are packaged fairly close, 207.220 miles an hour, the average. His quick lap was a 207.8. His slow lap was a 206.8. They are not that far apart. Now, we're going to see if we can talk with Tom Sneva and his qualification run. Tom stepping out of the car now, and it suggested that he's gone faster, and in fact he did in setifying the record, but how does he feel about this run? Well, we're about to find out.
Just couldn't throw all those sandbags overboard for qualifying. No, we're happy with the car. The Eagle ran very well. We never had to lift for four laps. We just missing a couple things in the motor combination area, and we're going to try to get those sorted out and get the Eagle soaring before the week's over.
Very good. Young Tom Sneva is our qualifier. Daddy Ongais is pulling in now, and we'll hear his remarks and watch Poncho Carter's run after this.
There is one city in America that means automotive greatness, Indianapolis. And for 30 years, one automobile has stood for performance, Ford Thunderbird. The flight continues as this year race-prepared Thunderbirds have won the Atlanta, Darlington, and Daytona 500s. Ford Thunderbird. Thunderbird has a tradition that an Indianapolis driver can appreciate. And now you can own your own version of a proven winner, 1985 Ford Thunderbird. Choose between the aerodynamically superior Thunderbird Elan, Turbo Coupe, or the all-new limited edition 30th anniversary Thunderbird. See any of your Indianapolis Metro Ford dealers, including Capital City Ford, 8623 East Washington Street, Foxworthy Ford at 96 in Keystone, and Sharp Ford at US 31 South and Hanna. WIBC's Lou Palmer.
And the run of Poncho Carter, car number six. He is on his way and with one of his solid rides here at the Indianapolis 500, judging by performance in practice this past week.
This would make Poncho, I still think of him as being one of the newer drivers,
sure.
But this would be his 12th start. First came here in 1974, and he's made the race every year since. He got off to a terrific start by finishing seventh as a rookie, then he was fourth in 75, and fifth in 76, so they gave him an average of something like, 5.5 or something. But then he went through a number of years where he did not do as well, dropped out of the race several times. We can give you the finishing positions, we won't. His best finish today has been 1982, when he was third.
And the Buick runs well, twice, two different cars, this one 212 and a half miles an hour. So, if he can hold four laps like that, he'll be on the pole. 212.510. Now, the new record is 214.199 for a single lap, but the new four-lap average is 212.354. So we've got a realistic possibility of a new four-lap average underway now in the Valvoline Buick. They're calling it the Hawk. Poncho Carter driving it. It is the Buick V6 entry, the second that we have seen in four cars out on the track. Scott Brayton is on the pole at the moment, 212.3. Tom Sneva, middle of that front row at the moment at 208.9. Danny Ongais, outside front row, car number 25 at 207.720. Meanwhile, Poncho Carter is edging his way forward with an increase in speed for the second lap of 212.721. Poncho Carter.
This is the team car, the one that Jeff Brabham is driving. I think we lose track of that from time to time. It's owned by Rick Gallus, who's got Jeff Brabham in the Coors Light Silver Bullet, just by Alonso Jr. And this was really an experimental program. And the feeling was, Poncho's going to drive this because there's nothing else to drive, so it'll be an interesting program. It is a ride for him. Well, it's certainly
that. His third lap is faster, 213.159. So he's running over the four-lap average with three of them in at 212.7. He has not nailed down the one-lap record, 214.199 by Scott Brayton, but he is well on his way to having the four-lap average all to himself, and we could have Buick starting side by side, one and two, at least as we build the front row right now. Quite same pattern. Poncho's on his way, waiting for him now, coming off four. Here's the checkered flag. Poncho Carter has now qualified at this moment for this year's 500, and the probability is it will be a new four-lap, one-lap.
It is.
We've got a four-lap average unexcelled, 212.583, with a slower fourth lap of 211.944. So, Poncho Carter is in. He's qualified. It's a new four-lap average, and we are going to watch Derek Daly on the track. After all, I thought maybe Derek's people would pass for more time. They're going to go out, though, and see what they look like, so we'll be back with the information on the opening day of qualifying for Indianapolis after this.
A lot of people would like to sell you a business phone system. They're calling you, mailing you brochures, and showing up at your office.
Hello, Mr. Burns. Have I got a feature fancy phone system for you?
Do I know you?
No, but we are one of the best of the new phone equipment companies here.
Before you talk to a stranger, you should know about the Centrex business phone system from Indiana Bell. Centrex can give you all the features and benefits your business needs.
Now, Mr. Burns, to complete your phone system package, you'll also need this switching equipment for your office.
You mean I have to buy phones and all that stuff, too?
That's just the way it is, Mr. Burns. You see, with
Centrex, you don't buy complicated, expensive switching equipment for your office. Before you buy, ask about Centrex, because not every phone equipment salesperson will mention it. So before you talk to strangers, take this good, motherly advice. Call Indiana Bell at 1-800-633-BELL and investigate our Centrex business phone system.
It's 1128 at WIBC. Back to the track with Lou Paul.
And Poncho Carter has just pulled back into the pit area, taking the gloves off. Shortly, the helmet will come off, and he will know that he has the new track record. His four-lap average, 212.583 miles an hour, puts him on the pole in the moment for the Valvoline Buick, the Hawk. Poncho is the main man, starting on the inside of the front row, at least as of now. Derek Daly is out on the track, car number 48. Derek's speeds have not been near the pace we have just seen run. He has had only one full day and maybe portions of two others in the cockpit of the car. It was late arriving, but Poncho Carter's on the...
There they are.
Yeah, thanks very much. The car just performed excellently in that last lap. It just started to get away from me a little bit, and I think I lost a little bit going into turn three. But the crew did an excellent job. The Valvoline Buick Hawk here just has been giving us some troubles all week long, but I owe a lot of credit to my crew. They just did an excellent job getting the car prepared. And it was just up to me to go out and put together four qualifying laps. I put together three good ones, and we'll take the fourth one.
Well, what? A little spray on the last one, you say?
Well, it was a little bit that way the whole run, but I think I just was trying a little bit too hard on the last lap and got out on me a little bit, and I just had to get out of it in turn three.
There you are, the run of Poncho Carter on the pole, 212.583. That fourth lap is slow and at 211.944, and Derek Daly has taken the green flag, so they're on their way, Donald, a nice guy. Derek Daly is living in Zionsville now, but he's an Irishman.
Oh, you can tell when he's in monotone when he talks.
Oh, yeah. He came to Indianapolis from the Formula One circuit. He was K.K. Rosberg's teammate in the Williams Formula One team. And had a couple of third places in Formula One. Came here in 1983 and drove for the Weisert family. And then last year he was Tony Bettenhausen's team on the Pirelli Reveal team. His first lap now has been logged in, and we are waiting for information on it, knowing Derek Daly has started a qualification run, and I think maybe we are a little bit surprised in that, let's see, my best book time, I'm looking for Daly now, around 202 miles an hour. Now that, in fact, may be more than acceptable, but we can't know that. It's awfully early to determine what the bottom end of this year's 500 will be. So as we await the information on Derek Daly's run, I note that his long boss, Gordon Johncock, is a driver yesterday. He stepped down. George Ewing has gained himself a crew chief job on another car. He's running this one for Emerson Fittipaldi. And a man that virtually everybody was really pleased to get to know. Fittipaldi is one of the nice people in racing. World driving champion and a guy who seems to have a good time wherever he goes. He used to smile a lot in Formula One, and people don't do that.
No!
But he was very successful very early on. He won his first Grand Prix at the age of only 23 in 1970, and in 72 became the youngest world champion ever, 25 years old. He's turned to 211.481 on that first lap, 211.481 miles an hour for Emerson Fittipaldi. That's considerably faster than any practice speed we've seen for him. I don't know that he was 209.
210s. 210.
Yeah, right. You know, just edging. And that's considerably faster. Because I'm edging the 210, you're right. It's more than a mile and a half faster than anything we've seen on the car. He won the World Championship for Lotus in 1972, and then he left at the end of the 73 season and went to McLaren and then won the World Championship for them in 74. He retired from racing, I think, after 81, after having a miserable several seasons with a team that he put together himself. He retired, and he was gone for about 3 years, and then last year just showed up at Miami in February and then came here and made his first 500 start. The second lap, much like the first, running it solidly, 211.119 miles an hour. So he's averaging 211.3. That's strong. In fact, third quickest. Well, yeah, third quickest for the moment. The fastest by Eddie Crosworth.
That is fact.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Well, that's got to take a look at Ed Buick's.
That's right.
211.4 first lap, 211.1 the second lap, and he is now completing his third lap. He has one lap to go. Emerson Fittipaldi into turn number one and on his way into this year's 500 with a very consistent run. The third lap, 211.595 miles an hour. His quickest lap, but not by that much. He averages 211.3, almost 211.4. I think it really was
a surprise, but I don't think there was any prior indication when he showed up at Miami to drive in a sports car race through the streets last February. He'd been out of racing for like 3 years, and I think he'd just potted around with go-karts in Brazil and so forth, but the rigors of Formula One had got to him, and he just didn't want to do that anymore. And when he came here with by no means the best team, he seemed to be having a good time here. And I remember on race morning, you know, particularly on the Worldwide Network broadcast, that Fittipaldi was waving, smiling, and seemed to be having a thoroughly good time. 211.094 is his fourth lap, so he just runs an almost identical lap, 211.322 miles an hour. A more than credible run as Emo is qualified for this year's 500. His skill is very precise. I worked with Bill Simpson on a broadcast at Cleveland last year, and not the race itself, but they had some matched street cars. I think they were Camaros. Is that IROC? That's IROC. Champions put together.
Yes.
And watched Fittipaldi run lap after lap at identical points on the racetrack. Some guys would drift out, some would drift back. He had a problem with the car, and that made it all the more challenging because then he started to catch up and pass cars. And there were two things going, as Simpson pointed out. He has an innate talent, and he has an incredible amount of experience. Emerson Fittipaldi is qualified. Roberto Guerrero will be going out. We'll take a look at that after this.
A routine delivery made possible by coal. In many of the hospitals and clinics in the United States, it's coal-fired electricity that keeps the lights on, cools or warms the air, powers the vital equipment, and helps the medical team sustain life or deliver new life. Look, honey, it's a girl.
Let me hold her.
Another routine, special delivery, made possible by coal. Brought to you by the men and women of the Amex Coal Company.
America needs energy, but not from foreign shores. All we need is here at home, outside our own back doors. Americans know what it takes, they know that now's the time. They look to our coal people, working hard in Amex mines. We can do the job, America. If coal takes the lead, we can do the job, America. Car is what we need right now.
1140 at WIBC, back to the track of Luke Waller.
Roberto Guerrero on the track now, car number 9. He brushed the wall in practice earlier. Larry Henry found that they said, all right, no big problem. We'll change the front wing on that car. It's ready to go qualifying again. Roberto Guerrero is out there and running now. Meanwhile, Emerson Fittipaldi is getting a congratulatory greeting by his crew. Car number 40 has qualified with 4 good, consistent laps. He's taking a look at that now. His average speed, just over 211.3. He's made his second 500.
Please, and on my 7-11 car was perfect, and the team had done a good job of preparing the car. I'm very pleased. Thank you.
And Emerson Fittipaldi is in. Roberto Guerrero is on the run now. A qualification effort underway for Team Cotter Racing. His first lap, 209.118 miles an hour. Again, recall that Guerrero was on the wall, but ever so slightly in a practice run this morning. Roberto Guerrero has practiced at better than 213 miles an hour. This is far off that pace, but again, we are certain more than enough to make the race.
He was tremendously impressive last year. As impressive, I think, as any newcomer. He finished second in his first race, and not too many people have done that. And what is remarkable is what happened to him along the way, because he was right after the Pat Bernard accident. Several cars bunched up in a group, and he was hit from behind by Danny Sullivan, who couldn't get stopped in time, ran up over his wheel. Here's the speed limit.
The second lap is a mile an hour slower, so the car's going away a bit, 208.198 miles an hour. Again, averaging better than 208.5, that's enough for the field, but that's not what they intended to do today.
Slowing up for the Patrick Bernard accident, there were several cars that were running nose to tail. They were, as they were slowing up, they couldn't all get stopped in time, and Danny Sullivan, who was driving one of the two Lotus in the race, ran up over the rear of Roberto Guerrero and apparently gave a really solid shunt, enough that Roberto thought he was out of the race and came in, and they sent him on his way because it was okay. Then he spun late in the race trying to lap a car.
Luckily caught a yellow light.
Caused his own yellow and was able to save that lap. Overshot his pit on another stop, but in the closing laps he was running 204 miles an hour. Now that doesn't sound like much now, but in the race last year, that was fast.
Now what is happening to Guerrero is the car is going away. He's lost about a half mile an hour now. The third lap is 207.886. So that holds his average at 208.3, 208.4 roughly. But he is going slower and slower and slower per lap. So he's losing speed for some reason, but has enough to make the field. They've made the choice. The checkered flag is up, and Roberto Guerrero is a qualifier. We've got six people in this field. The most recent entry number is 9. His fourth lap was 207.058. The four lap average, 208.062. Roberto Guerrero's in. Mario Lyonbeck will be going out next in car number 61, and the run of Mario Andretti is not far away. Back for all of that in a moment.
I'm convinced service is the key to Pip's success.
Bill Levine, founder of Instant Printing and Pip's chairman of the board.
Pip printers are long on service. We print to meet deadlines while maintaining top quality. That's the kind of service you can expect from Pip printers at over 900 locations.
At Pip, you'll find experts trained in meeting your printing needs. From size to layout to special papers and colors, Pip's professionals pay special attention to solving your printing problems so that you can be assured of sharp, clean prints time after time. Whether 10 copies or 10,000, Pip guarantees consistent, high-quality service and speed at a reasonable price. And with 23 locations in central Indiana, 17 in Indianapolis, Pip offers added convenience.
So don't settle for anything less. Check the phone directory and visit the Pip printer in your neighborhood. Just tell them they'll ask you to say Pip it.
1144 WIBC, back to the track, Lou Palmer.
Well, Roberto Guerrero has qualified. Harry Leyendijk is out of the track warming up. Mario Andretti is standing by to make a qualification run. And Larry Henry is down there somewhere amidst all of that. Larry?
Well, we found more problems with the Penske team. Danny Sullivan's car number 5, they were tearing the back end loose. They're working in the gearbox area. They should have time to get it repaired before they get to the qualifying line. But they're doing major work back in the gearbox on Sullivan's car. Okay, now let's stress, this is as they move through a qualification line, right?
That is correct.
Wow.
Okay, keep in touch. We will anxiously await it. We've got Harry Leyendijk now, car number 61 on the track. Mario Andretti moving toward the starting line in the pit area. And we're going to turn back to Roberto Guerrero, who has qualified at an average of 208.062 miles an hour. A good solid speed, but far off his practice pace during this month of May. The entry number is 9, and there's a suggestion being made to him that he must be disappointed. But we'll get his reaction for that at the moment. Where does the speed go?
Yeah, well, obviously I'm very disappointed, and we changed the setup a little bit from, you know, after I had the spin this morning, and it just gave me a very big push in the car, and that just cost us all the time.
After changing it, you didn't have enough practice time, is that right?
Yeah, we never managed to go out again, and I guess that's what cost us.
You all right after that little brush over there?
I was okay, but I guess that damaged our chances a little bit.
Well, Harry Leyendijk on the track. Roberto Guerrero qualifying with less speed than he wanted, but 208.062 seems enough speed to make the field. And we're watching now the run of Harry Leyendijk taking the green flag. Car number 61, he is on his way for the Provini Racing Team. It is a Lola, and his first lap at 206.044 miles an hour. 206.044.
And we have history again, because this is the first time that there has ever been a driver at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway from the country of Holland. In fact, if you look down the lineup here, we've got 5 people in a row. Derek Daly went out. He's from Ireland. Emerson Fittipaldi from Brazil, followed by Roberto Guerrero from Colombia, followed by Harry Leyendijk from Holland, followed by Mario Andretti, who is an American citizen but was born in Italy. But know that behind Andretti is an American. A.J. Foyt's coming up to take care of that.
Yeah, and we got a Buick on the pole, man. He's burnt the house. So, Harry Leyendijk on his way, 2 laps in, slower, 205. 205.526 miles an hour. Average speed, 205.7 for half his laps.
In fact, Ari Leyendijk, we didn't really talk about him. He's a Super B driver of considerable success in the last couple of years, having hooked up with Art Groenvelt. Not a household name in racing, but he is the man that owns the Pro BB Veel team, and he is from Holland also. So this is an old Dutch operation with a Dutch driver, a Dutch owner, and we believe a Dutch sponsor.
And so much for the Bettenhausens, which were part of the operation initially. The whole thing came together and moved in, and now
he moves up now to a third lap completion, 205.512 miles an hour.
Three laps in then for the Provini Racing Lola. It was good, though. That operation, the Provini people did decide to come here and see what they could put together in the way of a program, and we watched them try and progress. This is the first significant change in it in the few years that it has been here. Now, as a new driver comes to Indianapolis and attempts to qualify, Ari Leyendijk in car number 61, averaging 205.6 for three laps. It's the four-lap average that really matters, and he is about to log that in now as the checkered flag is up. It is waving, and Ari Leyendijk has qualified the number 61 Provini Racing Lola and has qualified a fourth-lap run of 206.939, his four-lap average 206.004, and Mario Andretti will be the next to leave the line. They're pushing it off now. The Beatrice Lola for Newman Haas, and we'll be back with that in a moment.
You can buy a lot of things with credit cards. You can cash checks with most of them. Some cards can even get you cash. Now there's one card that can do all that and more.
A brand new card that doesn't charge a membership fee.
A card that doesn't charge extra for additional cards.
A card that offers you extra savings on products and services.
Introducing the Hooks Promise Card. Hooks Promise is more than a charge card. It's a whole new program of expanded customer services.
Hooks Promise Card puts over 14,000 home and healthcare products at your fingertips.
Hooks Promise gives you the flexibility to meet unexpected emergencies.
There's even a special promise program just for senior citizens.
Apply for your Hooks Promise Card today. There's no annual membership fee. You'll see, Hooks Promise is as good as gold.
At WIBC with Lou Palmer out at the track.
We've got Mario Andretti on the track, our most recent qualifier. Ari Leyendijk, car number 61, averaging 206.004 miles an hour. We wait for him to return to the pits. We watch Mario Andretti warming up. Some team operation that is. The entry number is 3 here. He is, however, the driving champ on the kart circuit for the year just passed. Watching them put that together at Caesars Palace in the final race of last year was to watch them calculate very precisely in the pits to see just when they could start to go fast, to know that there was, I think the position was 10th or 11th. When at that point, when they could run no lower than 10, they knew then they could turn it loose, and then decided they'd better be cautious. And Mario told me at the end of the race, in the victory circle area, that he didn't really know whether he'd be catchable or not, but he knew he wanted that title very, very much. They got it. They had a superb sponsorship last year, Budweiser, but that got sold away. So there's an incredible amount of money now involved in Beatrice sponsorship of this Newman Haas Lola, car number 3, on the track now. The team has charisma. There is Andretti himself, and we'll talk about him in a moment. There is Paul Newman, it goes without saying. And if nothing else, Carl Haas's cigar is worth 2 or 3 pictures in any racing program. So they're on the move now. The car number is 3. It is a Lola, and we think he ran 215 miles an hour late yesterday afternoon in practice. Here now, for the record, is the official time for Mario Andretti to log in for this year's 500. It is 212.354 miles an hour, and that is not a new track record.
I think that may be the fastest by a Cosworth, so I've got to check back here and see.
Running first in class.
He is. He's faster than Fittipaldi, so that's the fastest Cosworth thus far. But how can you say it in just a few seconds?
He's done it all.
1978.
Do it again.
1978 world champion. The IndyCar champion last year, Indianapolis 500 winner, only once.
There's the thing. He
only
has
once.
A long time coming to win the Indianapolis 500 a second time.
If he were to win it this year, that would make a 16-year gap between his first victory and his second victory.
The second lap is 211.775, so it gives him a two-lap average of just over 212 miles an hour. The four-lap average record is Pancho Carter's, I believe, 212.582, so he's running below that four-lap average. Is he just at that four-lap? Yes, okay, he's running below it now. We've got two laps where... We'll hold it now for that third lap to see how it comes. He would have to punch it up considerably in order to go for the four-lap average. We have the third lap logged in. The white flag waves. He's in turn one. His final lap is underway. His third lap is 211.481 miles an hour. He's averaging in 211.8. That's a strong run, but it won't put him on the pole. He, I am sure, is now out of sight for a four-lap average record, but it's a good run. Car 3, Newman Haas Lola, the interest of sponsorship, 212.3, 211.7 for the second lap, 211.4 for the third lap. Waiting now for the checkered flag, Mario Andretti, out of the north chute now and into turn 4, out of turn 4, down the main straightaway, and another qualification effort running to completion. There it is. Mario Andretti is our eighth qualifier for this year's 500, and his fourth lap at 210.699 was his slowest. His four-lap average is 211.576. Andretti is in, and we'll be back after this.
Calvin Klein. Let the hot days burn as you cool with style and great-fitting Genera shorts. Top them off with a Genera camp shirt that sizzles with color. Comfortable cotton blends, comfortably priced. And for hot nights, slip into Calvin Klein's. Straight leg blue jeans, indigo rinsed or stonewashed blues. Feel the comfort, notice the fit. Get great comfortable looks at Ayers. Genera and Calvin Klein. The look that make you stand out in a crowd. Take to it all and young men at Ayers.
Minutes to noon at WIBC. Back to the track with Luke Palmer.
Mario Andretti is qualified at 211.576 miles an hour. A.J. Foyt is now the man on the track, car number 14, and Al Unser, the father, not the son, will follow Foyt in car number 11. Foyt, his own man, Al Unser, now driving again for Roger Penske after it appeared that program came apart at the end of last season, but Al is doing the major speedways for what is a three-car team. Foyt is out there now. Mario Andretti has qualified, and we'll be keeping our eye on Mario, or on Foyt, while we listen to Mario Andretti. Car number 3, his speeds down from the earlier practice periods. They're checking the track conditions now and asking whether it's a fact.
Well, it was me. Going into 3, I just couldn't get the car turned. And that's where I was scrubbing all of my speed. I knew it after the first lap. I figured, well, I was afraid we got caught. And that's all it takes.
Well, close, but not quite close enough. About a mile an hour too slow for the pole.
Yeah, I guess.
We know you're disappointed after having gone 214 miles an hour, but congratulations to you, Mario.
Thank you, Dave.
Mario Andretti has qualified. There's no doubt he is in the field. He could have gone faster, but it wasn't to be today. Many of us expected it to be faster, but it's hard to say you could be disappointed with 211.576 when you look back to the majority of people who have ever run and those who will be running. It was a fine, solid run. It just wasn't to be a record run. Will A.J. Foyt? Improbable, I think, this month of May, Donald, but there are records of other kinds that belong to A.J.
Well, every time he goes on the track, he really extends one of his own. This will be his 28th consecutive Indianapolis 500.
And has racing gotten expensive?
Yes.
He's not carrying just the Gilmore name on the car now. This is the Copenhagen Gilmore. His first lap at 207.392 miles an hour. The number is 14.
Of course, he has won the race four times. He is within reach of leading more laps than any other driver. Ralph DePalma holds that record. Al Unser is closer than Foyt, but Foyt ranks third. And Foyt also has the greatest number of laps completed during competition. Just a note here. Everybody has to go in some order, but isn't it something that you would have consecutive qualifiers of Mario Andretti, A.J. Foyt, and Al Unser, consecutive qualifiers.
Second lap for Foyt is much like the first, at 207.541 miles an hour as he rides well above the line in turn two, he's in the back straightaway, 207.3 first lap, 207.5 second lap. A.J. Foyt, car 14, the Copenhagen Gilmore.
A.J. Foyt started to go road racing just recently in sort of not really full enduros, but he has run Daytona, but he's done very successful in...
He's good at endurance this year, isn't he?
Yes, he's very good at endurance. But all the records that he holds at Indianapolis are really the amazing ones. I mean, when you think back to 1958 and think of how different things were there and all the things that have happened in the meantime, and year after year, A.J. Foyt has come back, qualified, and always been a contender.
Well, that third lap, and we talked about the line changing, really changed his speed line as well. That third lap backs up to 204.388 miles an hour. That pulls his average back to 206.4. 206.4 would be the three-lap average. I should say they take it. I see no reason not to. They're certainly not going for the pole. Let's see what happens. The Super Tex comes out of four and into the field. Absolutely. There's the checkered flag. A waving. And A.J. Foyt is a qualifier. The ninth man to qualify for this year's 500. The entry number is 14. And the fourth lap is his slowest at 203.864. A four-lap average of 205.782. We'll be back with Al Unser after this.
Bacon cheeseburger combo at Hardee's, just $1.99 plus tax. It's the Baconist, a juicy bacon cheeseburger with a regular order of fries and a medium soft drink for just $1.99. What a great combo meal. And right now you get a free Indy driver collector card when you visit Hardee's. Collect all 50 race driver cards, trade them, keep them, bring the top 10 winning driver cards back to Hardee's and win free food prizes. Indy driver collector cards exclusively at Hardee's. When you come to Hardee's, try our delicious bacon cheeseburger combo for only $1.99 and get an Indy driver collector card free. What a combo!
You've been hearing about Quaker State Metal Guard with the lifetime rust protection guarantee. Quaker State, the Fortune 500 company, now brings you Quaker State Paint Guard to seal and protect your new car shine. Quaker State Paint Guard will help keep your new car looking new year after year. Also now available is Quaker State Cloth Shield. Cloth Shield acts as a barrier to protect against spills on cloth seats, carpets, and upholstered side panels in your new car. Finally, you can get a complete car protection system. Quaker State Metal Guard Rust Protection, Paint Guard, Paint Protector, and Cloth Shield for interior cloth protection. These fine products are available from the company you can trust, Quaker State. Quaker State helps cars last year after year after year. Available at Honda West, Honda Cars of Clarksville, and Foxworthy Ford.
12 o'clock at WIBC Indianapolis as we go back to the track with Luke Palmer.
A.J. Foyt has qualified and didn't care for the way the car ran. The crowd reaction had to do with the expressive phrase that he used to describe it. We'll simply say 205.78.
Got screwed up this morning and we just didn't get it straightened out, but the biggest thing is trying to get in a damn race and win it.
Well, hopefully before race day you can.
Thank you.
A.J. Foyt, not happy with the qualifying speed, thinks it stays in the field. We'll get him ready to go racing race day. Al Unser getting ready to qualify now in car number 11. We'll be back with his run in just a moment.
Sports time. Party time. Any time.
your time to purchase your clothing and sportswear from D. Dan's Gentlemen's and Ladies Clothier, the clothing that complements your lifestyle. For men, cotton knit shirts by Polo and LaGroup in many styles, many colors, perfect for springtime. And handsome trousers, a mattress, seersucker, khaki, poplin, and Oxford cloth. And don't forget the everlasting Sperry Topsider shoes in maple canvas and white suede, plus hand-sewn penny loafers and cordovan and English tan. For ladies, D. Dan's Ladies Room has exceptional sportswear, like short sleeve camp shirts and mattress, Oxford cloth and linen. Combined with a lightweight cotton skirt, shorts, or trousers, you have a great outfit. D. Dan's Gentlemen's and Ladies Fashions that complement your lifestyle. D. Dan's, 86th and Township Line Road in the North Willow Mall Shopping Center. Open 10 to 9 Monday through Friday and 10 to 6 on Saturday. Night to the track at WIBC's Lou Palmer.
Back here on the Speedway, Al Unser, car number 11, attempting a qualification run now in the Hertz Special, driving for Roger Penske in car number 11. Al Unser's first lap, 210.832 miles an hour, 210.832.
In almost every instance where A.J. Foyt holds a record in terms of, you know, longevity, numbers of starts, and so forth, Al Unser ranks second almost every time. In fact, there's some categories where Al Unser is ahead of Foyt. And as I mentioned just a few moments ago, the greatest number of laps ever led by a driver in a career was 613 by Ralph DePalma between 1911 and 1922. Al Unser can break that record by leading, I think he leads 19 or 20 laps, and he'll have more than that. So he's what, like at 596 to 597. He's won the race three times. He's also been a runner-up three times. I think he's had seven finishes. There's one third place, so he's had eight finishes, because he's been third twice. Eight finishes, a first, second, or third.
Well, he's running a pair of close laps. The second is 210.625 miles an hour. So the 210.8, the 210.6, he's averaging 210.7. Al Unser, still moving out there. John Paul Jr., revving it up, warming it up, hoping to go racing here as well. Steve Chassie will follow him out, and that will sound different. That'll be that Chevy V8 project. Al Unser's Hertz Special, car number 11. We've got the white flag up for him now, indicating one lap to go. Al Unser down into turn number one. Three laps completed, one to go. And his third lap, again, 210, a 210.408 miles an hour. He's averaging 210.6. That's a very tightly bracketed run. He's hoping to become the 10th qualifier. We're going to start the 33 fastest here come race day. Al Unser, 210.8, 210.6, 210.4.
That would make him the fifth fastest qualifier if his lap was similar to the other three.
He's running to completion now out of turn number four, moving toward the main straightaway. We look north, we wait for his arrival, and here's your qualification completion. Al Unser Sr. is in the field. John Paul Jr. will be moving out, and we've got a four-lap pop of 210.226, a four-lap average of 210.523. Back with more after we catch up for the world around us.
In the news headlines this afternoon, the body of an Indianapolis man was found on the railroad tracks in the 2000 block of Massachusetts Avenue this morning. The victim now identified as 40-year-old Leonard Hunt of 2400 Massachusetts. Authorities say that Hunt failed to return home last night, and his body was discovered by Conrail workers about 7 o'clock this morning. The man who created the famous Dick Tracy comic strip, Chester Gould, died at his home early this morning of congestive heart failure. He was 84. Tracy was born in the days of Depression, Prohibition, and gangsters. In the celebrated cases of Dick Tracy, published in 1980, Gould was quoted as saying, "I decided that if the police couldn't catch the gangsters, I'd create a fellow who would." Kathleen Crowell Webb's former boyfriend, David Byrne, has just completed testifying in the clemency hearing for the man convicted 6 years ago of raping Webb. Webb, as you know, now says she fabricated the rape story because she feared she might be pregnant by Byrne and that the rape never occurred. In Chicago today, Byrne said he first met Webb in the early 1970s. He said that in 1977 they began a relationship that resulted in sex anywhere from 5 to 30 times, but only on weekends. Elsewhere, they've been told their money is secure, but that's not stopping hundreds of depositors from withdrawing their funds from Maryland's Old Court Savings and Loan Association. The privately insured institution replaced its top executive this week, and since Thursday, depositors have been lining up at various branches to withdraw their money. Now WIBC weather for this afternoon, partly cloudy with a 20% chance for evening thundershowers.